Okay, how's that? Much better. Good morning, everyone. And thank you, Mr. Chair, for the opportunity to just say a few introductory words. Today starts a three-part process through this committee structure that allows us to discuss with you and to present to you the different components of our budget in preparation for the proposed budget in July. Specifically today, we'll be talking about our capital projects. Before I introduce John to walk us through the morning, I want to make sure that everyone understands the iterative process that we go through internally to prepare for today, and it involves not only a review of the funding sources and a review of the exact project estimates, but also a comprehensive review with our staff to talk about schedules, to talk about exactly where we stand in these projects, to look at not only the proposal for this year, but also to look at it from a long-term perspective. So with that, we have our Chief Financial Officer, our Chief Budget Officer, as well as our department directors here, prepared to go through, again, a very comprehensive review that has taken place internally. I hope at this point that we've had the opportunity as well to brief each of you. We've taken your input into consideration, and we're prepared today to dedicate the morning to going through the detail of our capital budget. Thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you, Alina. So yes, today the only item that we're going to go through is the proposed capital budget. On July 16th, we will go through the proposed operating budget and how to close the projected funding gap there. So just to be clear. So if we could get the presentation up, let's go to the next slide. Okay, so our capital plan is really a five-year plan, and a lot of the focus that we have, as you'll see in the next few slides, it's really the first year, FY 2022, is funding that first year of the plan. That's the only year that's actually appropriated. The rest of the 4 years are really a plan that we program out there, and then when we actually get to that fiscal year, we formally appropriate. So let's go to the next slide. So this just kind of shows where we are in time. Can you click through the animations? So we start this process in February. We've done a ton of work behind the scenes the last few months, including work with the new city manager. And now we're in this June, July timeframe where we're getting the review of the finance committee. Can you click through some the animations? There you go. Keep going. There you go. All right. Next slide, please. So one of the things we started doing after 2019 when we got a ULI recommendation was trying to build resilience into all of our capital projects and assets. And so we used a cross-departmental team, next slide, to help us do that. Each capital project in the plan goes through a process where it gets reviewed by several different departments to try to, again, build in that resiliency in all our capital projects. Next slide. Next slide. Okay, so as we're going through allocating our limited capital funds that we have on an annual basis, we have three main buckets that the general type governmental projects end up in. The capital renewal and replacement is where we have a lot of the projects to renew our facilities, to renovate different things like that. We have a lot of facilities, a lot of needs. We typically don't have a lot of funds, but we try to prioritize them the best we can. We also, here in this community, we're lucky to have resort tax quality of life funds. That's not a funding source you would see in most any other city. And so we're able to allocate a little over $1 million to capital projects that are tourist-related in North, Mid, and South Beach. And then finally, if a project doesn't fit in one of those two buckets, it usually ends up in pay-as-you-go or pay-go, which is funded through a millage rate. And then we have a lot of other funding sources, such as parking funds, transportation funds, different things like that, where we allocate out those funds to different capital projects. So you'll see that in the upcoming slides. Next slide, please. So you also, in your packet, you have an attachment. It looks like a giant spreadsheet printed on 11 by 17 paper. And so that is what we call the prioritization sheet. And so you'll see all the project requests on it. You'll see in the green column what's actually recommended for funding. And so we just want you to be able to refer to that as a reference document, as a tool, not just today, but throughout the rest of the budget process. Okay, so the first one up is capital renewal and replacement. Next slide. So this was established back in 2005. It is funded by a dedicated millage rate. The idea is with a millage rate that as property values increase, that the amount of money that is available from this fund would grow over time. Unfortunately, this year, as you heard, property values decreased 0.2% with the June 1st numbers. Hopefully that'll go up slightly with the July 1st numbers. But so we actually have less money than we had last year at this time. So you can see here the millage rate. And next slide. So the way we prioritize this money is we try and use kind of a scientific process. The property management department really manages this area. They're responsible for our facilities. And so they use priorities like critical to continued operations, beyond useful life, public health, you know, safety, that kind of thing. And so this year we have $805,000 available, and the unfunded requests are $4.7 million. So that's not uncommon, you know, to have four or five times more requests than we do funds. But again, we do the best we can to prioritize amongst them. So here on this list, I won't read every single one of them. You're going to see a lot of lists here, so I'm going to try to just highlight a few of them. If you have any where you'd kind of like to pause and ask a few questions, we have all the department heads here that hopefully can help with any details. A lot of you have asked questions during the briefings. We've tried our best to answer them, but just in case anything else comes up. So here you can see the first one on here is at the Nest, the Northeast substation. We have a flooding issue there in the parking lot that we've been trying to address for several years. And then HVAC issues, you know, roof issues, those are all high priority that we don't want additional damage to occur, you know, to outside the envelope of the building. So this is a short list, only $780,000 worth. So let's move on to resort tax quality of life funds. So here, again, this comes from 1% resort tax on room rents. And so it's again, it has to have a nexus to tourism. So for example, if we have a parks request, if that park is on the water somewhere on the oceanfront where it's conceivable that tourists could use it, you know, that's, we could try to build that nexus and we can try to fund projects from there. So again, North, Mid, and South all get approximately a little over $1 million each year. And this year it's going to be less than normal because, again, we are assuming a 50% decrease, you know, of lower resort taxes than normal as we build next year's budget. Okay, so as we look at the recommended projects, this slide shows all the North Beach projects. We recently took over the Shane Rowing Center responsibility for their building, so we have three projects that you'll see that come up in here. The Banshell, we recently had a canopy to cover all the normal seating. We've added rear seating recently, and so this canopy would cover that as well. Normandy Isle Park pool renovations have been put off for a couple of years, and now we've had quite a few complaints. We really need to get that project done. Entrance signs to North Beach, we have two that we're going to design and recommending funding for one. It's the one that got taken out a few years ago at Collins and Harding, where right now there is no sign. So that's really the one we're talking about here. And we're going to add security cameras in the North Beach Oceanside Park in that beach walk that just got put in, because we can, one, put in the infrastructure while they're completing the beach walk. Two, we can cut over to the Nest and connect where the rest of the beach walk security cameras are coming up from the south. I know there's been some questions from Mid-Beach folks about the stretch from 46th to 79th. We have funded from the south of the city up to 46th, and so it's going to take about a year to complete that. And that 46th to 79th stretch is budgeted in year two, in other words, in FY23, where we're going to try to start taking that piece on. It's going to take a little bit longer. It's also a little bit more expensive because we have an existing beach walk that we'd have to bore under and put in all the infrastructure for. But I just wanted to address that because I know there's been a lot of questions about it. Next slide. So looking at Mid-Beach, first project here, you see $400,000 for Bayshore Park. Later in the presentation, we're going to build on that section from the budget retreat where we talked about having some large gaps in various key projects. And so this is one part of the solution here, adding $400,000 for that project from these Mid-Beach funds. We do have a golf club in Mid-Beach, and so this is an amenity where we've had a lot of folks using that that the golf club more than normal over the last few years thanks to COVID. So as a result, we do have quite a bit of maintenance there that we need to get done. And also, you'll see waterway markers and signs. That shows up in South Beach as well. We're trying to do a better job of enforcing speed zones, creating some new speed zones, and making sure those signs are easy to read as well. So you'll see a little money there. For South Beach, you'll see that we have a lot of our amenities there, like the Collins Theater, Bass Museum, the Miami City Ballet. And so we're trying to do some of the highest priorities in each of those buildings that we're responsible for. The Flamingo Park Tennis Center courts, those usually get replaced every 7 years or so. I think we're in year 9 at this point. And when you see a negative number, like that number 96 there of 190,000, that's really, we're doing usually a swap of some kind. So here we're unfunding it, which creates more money for other projects because we're able to fund that project from an existing geobond project. So I know it looks a little funny to see a negative number there, so I just wanted to address that. And you see the waterway markers and signs in South Beach, as well as the MDPL Museum Master Plan, which was approved several months ago in advance of the budget. So moving on to pay-as-you-go, or pay-go, as we call it.
Excuse me, John.
John, can I
ask you a question?
Yes.
I know we sometimes use quality of life funds, maybe other funds for street lighting. And we're having the Neighborhoods Committee has been having some very productive discussions around lighting and the impact on public safety. There are a couple items floating. If this isn't the right time to have that, we can defer. But can you talk to me about where we might be allocating funds for street lighting? What was on the table? That seems to be a recurring theme as it relates to safety. I'm just wondering what's on the table around street lighting.
Yeah, that's a good question. So the geobond does include several million dollars for lighting. And I think what we're pending right now, and if anyone wants to correct me, Rudy? I'm trying to remember where we are in that process. I know that we're looking for policy direction. If we're going to continue down the smart lighting path, which is more expensive and we can only do, you know, so much, where if we go back to normal lighting, we can probably light up a lot of underlit neighborhoods, I think, as you're mentioning here. So just trying to get the timing. Do you remember of when this is going to go to commission?
Yes. Good morning, Mayor, Commissioners, in the committee. Yes, so we will be coming back. We will be discussing with the city manager as to moving forward with the smart lighting. As you're aware, Phase 1A was adopted by City Commission already, and we will be coming back hopefully in July. With a proposal moving forward for Phase 1B as part of the master plan. And there will be a couple of different options that we will be basically proposing. And we do have $10 million available through the geobond for implementation of the plan. So in other words, we have sufficient funding already to move forward with Phase 1B that will complete the design of the master plan, and then moving forward with implementation, $10 million from the geobond.
That's great. Thank you for the update. $10 million sounds like a good number. So just to confirm, if we had some urgent public safety-related lighting issues that surfaced during the year and we made a decision when you bring that forward, funding would not be the problem. We would have funds to use in the coming year. Is that accurate?
That is accurate.
Okay. Thank you.
And I think, Commissioner, without having had the full briefing, and the difficulty is that the $10 million was supposed to fund a vision. And from my understanding is that the master planning process has shown that to fund the vision is a much bigger number. And so I think the decision point is really understanding what we're going to do next that we can afford.
Pretty much. Thank you.
Thank you, Rudy. Appreciate it.
If I could follow up on Commissioner Samuelin's comment. So we don't know what neighborhoods or projects are going to be in that 1B yet, it seems. I haven't seen it. So, for example, I spoke to you yesterday, John. There's the Lakeview neighborhood that's been itching for a while to have lighting, and it's an item I put on the calendar. how do we either ensure those neighborhoods are on that 1B or make sure we have capital spending for it?
Well, when it comes up, I believe in July, we'll propose which neighborhoods potentially would get lighting, and you would have an opportunity, the full commission would have an opportunity to, you know, prioritize those, you know, react to the recommendation from staff, and we could always, you know, make some adjustments if needed.
Thanks.
That sound good? So it's right around the corner. Sounds like we're in July, right? Okay. Okay, so I think we're on PAYGO, right? Yeah. So here you see the millage rate, and again, it's generating a little bit less money than last year because the property values actually decreased slightly. So let's jump ahead to slide 21. Go ahead. One more. Next. Yeah. Okay. So this is usually a little longer list because we have approximately $2.6 million to work with. So the first item here is the Collins Park Rotunda. This project had been funded for $800,000 from CAC funds. And so this, we need another $800,000 to complete the project. So we can't fund $800,000 this year, but we're hoping to do $400,000 this year and then $400,000 next year. We have several bridges in the city that need maintenance. We do an assessment occasionally, and then we get the we understand what work needs to be done. So we have three or four bridges. So we're trying to do one per year here in order of priority. They're pretty expensive, so we can't do them all at the same time. But that's the $750,000 for that. You see another funding swap there. That's why we have a negative number there for North Beach Oceanside Park. We have the North Shore Park Youth Center exterior cafe and restrooms. That project has gone to Finance Committee. It's on the agenda for neighborhoods for June 30th to finish discussing the scope. This, we couldn't, again, fund the entire amount that's needed, but we split it, and we're trying to do half now and half in FY23. And we have a roof replacement at the 1755 building. That's a high priority. So let's go to the next slide. Okay, so bollards. So we have a need for just existing bollards that need some replacement around the city, and so that's the $200,000 you see here. If you look into the out years of the proposed capital plan, you'll see that we're proposing artistic bollards, putting some money in north, mid, and south, about $200,000, $250,000 in FY23, starting in 23, so that we can start to install them on street ends along the beach walk. This would be very similar to how we replaced the lifeguard stands throughout the city in north. We broke them up north, mid, and south, and we used our quality of life funds over time to implement them. See here, the green space facility is a facility that really needs a lot of help, and we have a high priority renovation that needs to take place there. Roof replacement, Shane Rowing Center. Again, Shane, this is another one of those. I mentioned three different items that you're going to see here related to the Shane. We have the design and permitting of the Miami Beach mooring field. We're actually right now in front of the find, in front of the Florida Inland Navigation District with our grant request to try and get this funded. It's happening actually today. And then the lighthouse in South Point Park took some, is the artistic lighthouse. It took some damage from Hurricane Irma, so we're trying to get that in good shape by the time we get to next Art Basel.
John, let me ask, if I could, question on that last slide. So you mentioned, can we flip that last slide back up? You mentioned that there's a hearing today on grant money for the mooring field. So in that case, would this amount, we would not need this to fund this because it's going to be funded through a grant, or?
I think we need this money, right? And the grant would help offset other costs, but let's make sure.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We're applying for $78,000 for the design and permitting. So FIND allows us to fund up to 50% of design as well as 50% of construction. So this particular grant is specifically for design and construction, so that would bring the $156,000 to $78,000. We will then apply to FIND again for construction.
Okay, and if we're able to build this, are we going to rent these slips in the mooring field?
Yes, the idea would be that the public could rent one of the mooring buoys. We're in discussions right now with Suntex, who manages the Miami Beach Marina, to see if they would be interested, and they are, to manage the upland facilities. So they would be the management entity on behalf of the city.
So do we know if we install the mooring field, would we generate enough revenue to pay for this capital improvement, or... what do the numbers look like if we know?
Sure. We believe that within 2 years it would pay for the cost. It's very inexpensive to actually do the construction. It's just a simple buoy. The more intensive part is the permitting and getting the bay bottoms cleaned before the mooring field goes in.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right, thank you, Betsy.
Let me just ask one other question, if I could. And maybe it was on the prior slide about the bathrooms. I know there's been some discussion about the bathrooms at the youth center. And you're proposing to cover that over 2 years. So what is the plan there? Are we going to build the men's room 1 year and the ladies' room the next year? Or how is that going to work? Or vice versa? Ladies first.
Good morning, Mayor, Commissioners, members of the committee. Commissioner, that's a great question. We would be constructing a complete facility that includes the restrooms as well as a vanilla or shell for what would be a cafe that would be built out at another time, but particularly if the city hires a concessionaire for that. So it's a complete facility. The restroom will be completed. It's a full project.
So in the first year, we would build the shell and complete both of the restrooms so they would be functional?
Correct. We would begin wrapping up the design. It's going through committee right now. I think John mentioned it a little bit earlier in his discussion. It's going to be heard at the neighborhoods committee later this month to talk about the scope of work. We already discussed it in finance in terms of the dollars and coming through this committee to find that. So what we would do is wrap up the design, which would be the complete facility minus the build-out of the cafe portion.
Okay. And I'm still a little confused about the need. I know that Commissioner Steinberg has expressed that there's a strong need. I know there are three bathrooms in the gymnasium complex, but they may not always be accessible. So there are bathrooms in the tennis center, or these bathrooms are for the tennis center, or it's my understanding there are some outdoor, but maybe there's some issues about accessibility.
These are restrooms that are intended to be used by the folks utilizing the fields, the open space for the baseball fields and those activities out there. The tennis center has its own restrooms, very similar to the situation that we have in Flamingo Park. In Flamingo Park, obviously you're familiar with it. You have a tennis center, has its own restrooms, and then you have general restrooms available to park users that are not the tennis players or folks involved with the tennis. So this is strictly restrooms for not the folks using the buildings, but the folks using the athletic fields. As a sidebar to that, as you may know, there's funding in the general obligation bond to expand the baseball fields in the near future, which in theory would also increase the use.
So with just to stay on the point, the Flamingo Park, since you raised that, I thought that the restrooms that are associated with the tennis facility there are, in fact, open to the public. Are you saying they're not?
All of these restrooms, and I'll ask if John Reber wants to chime in, but all the restrooms are open to the general public. But there's a need for the folks that are, for example, if you have children playing baseball, to be able to have a place that's readily accessible instead of going inside a building where there may be functions or other things going on.
Okay. Well, I don't want to spend a lot of time here, but like for example, in Flamingo Park, I've used those restrooms, and there you don't have to go inside the building. The public restrooms are accessible from the outside. So this is why I'm a little confused about why they're even designated to be part of the tennis center. there. Hey, John, how are you?
Doing well. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Yes, it would actually look very similar to what you see at Flamingo. You'd have the entrance to the tennis center, which if it went inside, would have its own restroom. But from the exterior, the restroom you're talking about would then serve the park and the baseball fields. It would turn out to look the very same.
Yeah, so exactly. So in Flamingo Park, the restrooms, you can get to them from the outside.
Yes.
They're open to the public. You don't have to go through the tennis center.
Correct. That's what we're looking to construct at North Shore.
Okay, so what is at North Shore now? Because you say there are bathrooms at the tennis center now. Are they only accessible if you go through a door?
Correct. You would need to enter the tennis center into their reception area, take a right, and the restrooms would be inside the center.
Okay, so this proposed new restroom, is it going to be built out next to the tennis center, or is it completely separate?
It's attached. It's attached. But it would be a separate entrance from the exterior.
I got it. Okay, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
All right. Okay, so now if we go to the next slide, we get into the other funds, you know, kind of the non-governmental funds, some ones that are more earmarked for certain purposes. And so we get to transportation is up first. And so they have various funding sources. They have their own transportation fund, which is mostly funded from resort taxes and PTP, and they have some concurrency dollars. And so you'll see that they have several projects here. Let's go to the next slide. So I just invite you to kind of look through them. If you have any questions, Jose's here. You can add any, you know, color to it. And so when you see something like, next slide, when you see like Orchard Park, and you see it's there three times, but it's only because it's funded from three different sources, so we have to track those separately there. Next slide. And so that kind of wraps up the transportation ones. Does anybody have questions on them? Because we could definitely address them at this time. Good? Okay. Let's move on to parking. So parking, as you know, has been under a lot of duress over the last couple of years due to COVID. Next slide, please. And so they do have several different garages. So you see that on this slide, mostly maintenance-type projects related to 7th Street and Anchor. Next slide, please. And then you'll see the same thing for Penn. And then you get into kind of a general garages that are funded through usually the parking fund and or bonds. And so you'll see here, next slide as well. So it's a nice long list of projects. There's not a whole lot to highlight other than they're just, for the most part, important priority type of renewal and replacement. Next slide. And you can see also that we're trying to replace the lighting with LED lights wherever possible. We've done a lot of it already. It helps save operating dollars on electricity, but also, maybe more importantly, it enhances security because the garages are brighter. Next slide. So this next section, resiliency, we talked about this at the budget retreat, and so everything that you're going to see here is consistent with what we talked about then. So here, coming up in the next fiscal year, you'll see the stormwater component of the Lincoln Road project, $1.8 million. We talked about that the remaining funding need for public seawalls is $20 million. At the retreat, we mentioned that we're recommending 10 because we feel that we can get another 10 in grants. And so the 10 will be spread out over the next 2 years, $5 million in 22 and $5 million in 23. We can't spend all that money right now anyway. It takes a long time for the permitting associated with those seawalls. And then the balance of the First Street funding that's necessary to get to that $46 million version of the project that the commission has approved. So let's go to the next slide. So this is the tracker for the resiliency fund. As we've talked about before, we've had access to this fund in lieu of a rate increase for stormwater. And so at some point, pretty soon, we're going to, you know, run out of this fund, and we're going to have to get serious about a potential stormwater rate increase here. So you can see that the West Avenue Phase 2 improvements to $15 million, that's coming up at a capital budget amendment on June 23rd. The First Street project, here's the balance of that funding. You see the seawalls, we're earmarking the total $10 million. The private adaptation program, we're earmarking it here. That's really an annual decision, but we'll come back when we do the operating budget and talk about that in a lot more detail. You see the stormwater funding for Lincoln Road. And then what's left over, which is that $8.4 million, is what we would put towards the next project, which right now we're recommending would be North Beach Town Center. We talked about that at the retreat as well. And, of course, the rest of the funding for the North Beach Town Center would probably have to come from a rate increase. So just want to be mindful of that. Next slide. So going through water and sewer, you see that in green we have the critical needs plan projects that Roy, you know, had worked with us on the last couple of years. So you'll see that that makes up most of the ask here in the water and sewer section. Next slide. And so let's go to the next slide where we look at the future. So if you're, again, we're focused on next year, which is FY22, but if you looked in the out years, at least in the stormwater section, you're going to see North Beach Town Center in 23. That's kind of our working date right now. So as we get closer to that, we might have to explore potential rate increase next year. So I just want to be real clear about that. But of course, that can change. And then Normandy Isles would likely be the second project. And since we do a five-year plan, we put that in there in FY2025. That timing could also change. But at least for planning purposes and trying to start the process of getting grants and different things, we've got them in there in those dates. So just wanted to call that out to you.
Excuse me, John. Question. You mentioned that we would be spending $10 million on the seawalls. We had that conversation last time, five and five. My recollection is we do have some good funding in the geo bond as well. And I was just curious, do we know how much we're going to use the geo bond? And I'm trying to get to how much are we going to put against public seawalls in the next couple of years? It's such a critical priority.
Yeah, well, I guess we have to look. We had it at the retreat. I think we had a slide. Do you know off the top of your head, sir, where you can address it? I know that what's left is $20 million. That's for sure. I'm just not as clear as what we have already.
Yeah, that's correct. We have $10 million in geo bond money, approximately $10 million in geo bond money for living shorelines and public seawalls. But we do have an excess need beyond that.
And that $10 million, Nelson, is that program, do we anticipate over the next couple of years?
That is correct.
For the public listening today, they will know that we're going to commit up to $20 million in the next couple of years, 10 plus 10. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
John, I had have a question, follow-up on the town center. So during the budget retreat, when we talked about this item, there was general consensus on moving forward with the item, I believe. But I asked about making sure that we could include the 73rd Street area and that large surface parking lot, but we hope to have that large project, and there seemed to be some question about whether or not the project would go to 73rd. So has there been any clarification yet on that question?
Yeah, I think it was the question about the overlap. David, can you help me with this one?
Commissioner, the 72nd Street complex, most of the work occurs obviously within the proper property itself. However, there are some improvements that are outside in the public right-of-way. These would be relocated water and sewer lines. In addition to that, they would be building new sidewalks and some landscaping in the perimeter of the property on all four sides. So that would be the extent of the overlap into the city's project if we do take on 72nd Street and 73rd Street in terms of improvements, which would be a lot more intensive.
So what I'm really wanting to avoid is a situation where we have a new complex at 72nd Street right on the surface parking lot, and then have to later go back and we're going to raise the roads on 73rd or 72nd for resiliency purposes, and then we have to deal with all of the changes that would be required to either get into storefronts or parking garages. So that's what I'm trying to avoid. So if we're going to raise roads, and maybe they're not needed in that area, I don't know, will that be done before the major construction on the surface parking lot project?
I With respect to, and I don't know if Nelson can fill in on this, with respect to the timing of the North Beach Town Center right-of-way project that we're talking about here, I'm not sure how that will play out. As obviously, the commission will be able to drive that that project. However, the roads in that area are very close to Collins Avenue, which is, as you I'm sure you know, is some of the higher areas in the city when you get close to the beach. From my understanding, both 72nd and 73rd will probably not require much, if any, significant road raising. So I don't. What we would do if the 72nd Street complex is moving faster than the right-of-way project, we would make sure that whatever construction is done is not throwaway work, meaning we would coordinate the elevation of sidewalks. It would not affect the storefronts, because the storefronts are going to be, no matter where we put the road, they're still going to be much higher. We're building them up to account for future resiliency needs. So we would not design something that would be throwaway. And I think that's probably the simple answer.
Okay, so then it sounds like we have a commitment then that if we're going to do this project and prioritize it, and I think that there was consensus when we had the workshop that we want to do that, that you would include the area as far as 73rd Street in surrounding that parking lot so that we don't have any throwaway work, right?
That's correct. Now, Public Works will coordinate the limits of that, but if that's the desire of the city commission, then I'm sure that's something that they will.
I just want to make sure that whatever we're budgeting, Ms. City Manager, that we're budgeting enough money to include that, so we don't have throwaway work. It's one more street, I think, to the north, right? So whatever amount that's being budgeted, we need to ensure that it includes enough money. And it could be that we don't need to raise the roads there, which would be terrific. But we don't want to be going back and redoing work.
I agree completely, Commissioner. And I think what you really want to hear from us is our commitment that it's going to be this comprehensive project. And you have our commitment to that. I mean, that's really the beauty of the program that the city has defined. I mean, it is very comprehensive, and it's intended to be that. And in this particular case, we have these complementary projects. So I think it's early enough in the process that we clearly can integrate that into all of the conceptual planning for both projects.
Well, I think from my perspective, we need to insist upon, yes. Just an option, because it's the diagram that was in the package for the budget workshop took us to 72nd Street. This would take us to 73rd Street. And there may be additional costs associated with doing that, and we just need to make sure it's budgeted included and we have no surprises later.
We will make sure.
Thank you.
Okay, great. Let's see. Next slide. So then we kind of have this miscellaneous section of other funds. So the first one you see is parks concurrency. So we get some concurrency dollars. These are impact fees. And so we were able to fund $799,000 worth of various parks projects. Next slide. Fleet management. Every year we budget for fleet replacement. And then that facility, I think everyone's pretty familiar with it, is in pretty rough shape and needs a lot of work. So you see several projects related to that. Next slide. You see the convention center. We're starting to take on some of the renewal and replacement type work that's going on there. So you see parking deck repairs, additional security cameras, that kind of thing. Next slide. And so $889,000 worth of various projects. Next slide. And then here, this is truly other. You'll see the North Beach Oceanside Park. So we reduced some funding earlier in the program. I think it was in PAYGO or in North Beach Quality of Life Funds that is now getting funded from a different source. The Shane Rowing Center, this is the big ask that you see, $413,000. We're able to fund that from old proceeds of a prior bond. We scrubbed and found a couple of pieces there where we could also apply to the First Street project to finish funding that. Next slide. So then just a real quick comment on the treatment of the geobonds in the five-year capital plan. Next slide. You'll see that the Tranche 1 projects were already all approved, so you'll see that in prior year funding. If you're looking at a project that's going to get Tranche 2 funding, it's going to show up in FY 2023 for now. And, you know, obviously the actual timing of the Tranche 2 is you know, to be determined, but that's the planning time. And then Tranche 3, the planning figure is 2027, but we only go out 5 years, so you'll see that in a future column. So just a little bit about how that gets treated in the book. So the next section, capital project gaps, this is a section that we introduced at the budget retreat. Next slide. And it really focused on, okay, we've got some significant project gaps and key projects. A lot of it is driven by a spike in prices that we've seen from COVID disrupting global supply chains. And so as a result, contractors are having to there's so much uncertainty that they're dealing with. They're having to compensate for that with some high contingencies and so on. Next slide. This slide, you saw this before, but it kind of shows some of the dramatic price increases that have been going on in a lot of the construction products and things. And so next slide. This is really a big, you know, takeaway from the retreat that, hey, you know, we have a lot of projects here, big numbers. And so what's different now is in the rest of this presentation, you'll actually see how we're recommending dealing with each of these. So we have a slide for most of these projects. So the next one, next slide, please. 72nd Street. So if we had all the money available, all the funding available, the construction contract award would go out in September. Right now, we're in the midst of negotiating with Haskell to determine what the shortfall is going to be. We had a preliminary large range of $25 to about $50 million. We're hoping that by the end of June, which is right around the corner, we should have an update on what that shortfall amount really is. We're hoping that it's in the lower part of that range. And at that point, we can run an analysis on the parking portion of the project, determine how much of that can be funded through like a parking bond, and then hopefully that would reduce that funding gap. And then whatever we're left with, if it's a small number, obviously we'll have a lot more options. If it's a big number, we'll have more limited options. But we do have some five properties, vacant lots, that we're considering selling. We've been talking about that in the Finance Committee for 3 months. And then also the current North Shore Library site's getting a lot of attention, and we're going to talk about that a little bit further on. But if we need big dollars, that might be the only way we can really raise them. So this project, you know, depending on how this goes and if we're able to find funding that doesn't need to go to voter referendum or something like that, we could be on track. But if not, this project may have to be put on hold for some portion of time while we try to get that funding.
Excuse me, John, sir. If I could. The voters voted for this project, so we absolutely want to move forward. I believe we've already allocated $10 million more than the voters, you know, initially thought that they were putting forward. So I guess my concerns here are, while I want the project to move forward, it's getting pretty big. I mean, if you add 10 to the 50-some-odd million, now another 25-plus, this is very, very significant. And what I'm especially concerned about, I've raised this concern before, is we have other needs, which I think we're going to hear about in a slide or two, particularly the Byron Carlisle, that requires funding. So I want the project to move forward. And I'm, you know, being clear that we've now added, you know, looks like tens of millions of dollars to what this project could cost. And I want to make sure that this is not going to drain funding that we need from other critical projects, particularly a city asset that is in real trouble. So could you comment a little bit on that? And of course, I'd love to hear what my colleagues have to say.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, we do have a commitment to try and complete the project. It is the most expensive project. It was probably the most controversial project in the geobond. And so I think we're probably 3 weeks away from really having that serious discussion. In other words, we really need to see what is the gap, how much, if you wanted to reduce some of the scope, because that gap assumes the current scope. If you want to reduce some of the scope, what would that look like? And so, you know, I think we're on the front end of a serious discussion And I think we're just a few weeks away from having the information available to really have that as a policy level.
I think that you've raised a very good point, because we have critical budget gaps this year with regard to capital projects. I don't recall a time where I've ever seen one project with almost a $50 million funding gap, as well as the numerous other ones that we're about to discuss. I didn't attend the Finance Committee meeting, but I also am concerned that we're looking to balance this potentially with the sale of city properties that may or may not include the North Beach Library. Selling a property is a one-time-in-your-life incident, and I'm not quite sure that we want to sell all of our properties. Maybe it's like that growing up monopoly mentality. You buy and you build the houses and you build the hotels and you hold on to those properties. So I am concerned if the recommendation is going to be we can only do this by selling other things. So I think we do have to have a deeper dive into this project and see if we can afford it, as well as all of the enhancements that have come along with it. I was concerned when we moved forward with those high proposals we received, how we were ever going to pay for it. So this is one of those projects that we're really going to have to look at and make sure we're putting in the critical components, but not overdoing it. And this is something that's going to warrant more than the conversation we're having today.
Absolutely.
John, can you speak to the $10 million on the parking? Because I'm a little confused on that. So in addition to the funding that we already have on the GEO bond, are you saying we've already decided that we can allocate at least $10 million, or is that what we're looking at? Or you're saying it could be larger than that?
Let me clarify that for you. So I think before you joined the commission, a decision was made to add $10, $11 million of parking funds to the project. And that was before we got to this gap, right? Because there is a significant parking component to this project. So the way this would work, bless you, is that we would get the new gap number. Let's say, okay, here's how much this project's going to cost. We would say, okay, David, how much of that is parking related? I don't know. Let's say it's $25 million. We've already allocated $10, $11 million to that. Subtract that. Okay, we've got a difference. Let's call it $15 million. I could bond that. So that $15 million would come out of your overall gap. Let's say it's a $25 million gap. Now you're down to $10 million. That we would have to come up with from some other means. But I don't know if it's 10, I don't know if it's 5, I don't know if we could do the whole thing.
Let me just see if I can get the basic number since I wasn't here. So
sure.
About how much is in the GEO bond? Is it about 40 million?
53
is in the GEO. And then you're saying there's already been a commitment of 10 from parking, or is that included in the 53?
It's on top of the 53 for a total of 64.
Okay, so 10 has already been. So now we're at 63, right?
63, 64, yeah.
60 in that range, you know, what's a million here or there, right? So, and so you're saying that there is a possibility that we could increase the 10 from parking to maybe 15 or 20 or some number, right? So there's some number that you're working on that we could bond out additional for parking, and you're working on that, and you expect to be able to get back with us in the next few weeks on that estimate. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm hopeful that at the July 16th budget workshop, this next one, after we talk about the operating budget, we could also, if we have that information, it's ready, we could try to address it there. If not, I think we have an item at Finance Committee also where we could do it there at the end of the month.
For just purposes of discussion, I'm going to take the low end of 5. That puts us at 60, 68 right now. So, and it's my understanding that the budget for the project had been reduced down from what was originally proposed, even with the offer that has been selected and we're in discussion. So I don't know what the number is, but I was thinking we were short about $20 million, but it sounds like we may only be short somewhere in the range of 10 to 15, if I'm doing my numbers right. Would that be fair to say we're in that range, or am I missing something?
Okay, right now the preliminary range, as you see on the slide, is 25 to 50 million. We're hoping that it's on the low end, let's say 25 million, that if you want to be optimistic.
But does the $25 million include the 10 and the additional 5? So follow my numbers, because I think this is important to all of us, right? Because it really is going to make a huge difference if I'm out looking for $25 million or $50 million or $10 million. So 53 was in the geo bond. We've already said that 10 could come from parking. Now I'm at 63. There's an additional amount for parking, somewhere in the 5 or 10. I'll take the low number for now.
I don't know if it's 5 to 10.
Okay. It could be lower?
It could be more.
It could be more. Okay. Okay. Well, I'm going to take the lower just for purposes of discussion. I'll put in 5 now. Now we're at 68. So it's my understanding that the project was going to come in somewhere around $80 million, given the changes. Maybe somebody here could address that. I don't know. I'm not hearing a $100 million project. In fact, I don't even think that was the proposal.
Well, if you're 20 million short and you're at 68 million and your numbers that you just did, 63 plus 5, then you're going to be at 98, which is pretty close to 100 million.
Probably. So we think it's going to be 98. I thought we were talking somewhere in the range of $80 million after some adjustments.
Okay, so if you have 63 million, which is, again,
the original
geo bond plus the park, and you say you're 25 to $50 million short, if you had 50, then you're going to be over 100. 18.
Well, I'm not saying I'm 25 to $50 million short. That's your number. I'm trying to get to the number, okay? So who's here that can speak to the proposal that we got? We selected an offeror. I think there are already discussions right now. David, can you address that? We got three different offerors that responded, and then we selected one of them. What was their initial bid? Was it...
Yeah. Yes, the initial bid for the top-ranked proposal that the commission selected was approximately $94 million total.
Okay, 94. But there's already been some discussions since then, and that number's been reduced, right?
The number hasn't officially been reduced yet. The exercise that we've been doing is twofold. The first part of the exercise is, without even looking at dollars, is how do we value engineer and scale back what they proposed? That's what mostly has been done. Along the way, we last week were actually got to a point where we had one of our last meetings where we agreed that the scope of work that was scaled back meets the criteria that it was in the solicitation. Therefore, now they're able to put their final revised number on it. There's been a lot of speculation along the way of what those numbers could be. You know, the proposer has thrown out figures of, you know, because of this change, it could come down X and Y. And, you know, so there's a lot of speculation of what that number could come down to. We kind of have a gut feeling, but we don't, you know, we don't want to bias the process.
Don't want to say the gut feel out loud because you don't want to bias the process.
No, because we're in the middle of that. So okay. What they have promised to have us by the end of this month is that final official number that we would be, that once we get it, we're going to verify it, we're going to look at the response, make sure that it in fact covers everything that was in that scaled back scope, and that's what we would bring to you. We would plug it into our, let's call it our formula, that derives the total required budget, and then we'll be able to come back and tell you the shortfall is 20, 25, 30, whatever that number would be. And then that's when John would look at, we would, as part of that number that we get, we would have a component that would be what is pure parking. We would share that with John, and then John would do the exercise that he spoke about regarding whether parking bonds is an option or not.
Okay. So just because I'm a numbers guy, so stick with me here. So 94, you mentioned, was the original proposal, right?
Right.
That's going to be reduced. By some amount.
Certainly.
Okay, but let me stick with the 94. If I take the 94 and I subtract the 68 that we said we already had, we know that is the 53 plus the 10, and I'm taking a very low conservative number of 5 to get me to 68, then I'm only 26 short. So I don't understand when you all say that you could be 50 million short. I don't see any way we could be $50 million. The most we could be is 26, and that's before the 94 gets reduced. If the 94 gets reduced to 84, then I'm only 16 short.
Let me try to explain that when we're talking about this number from Haskell, the 94 or any number below that, we're talking about exclusively the design build cost.
Okay.
Obviously, there's a we have our city contingency on top of it and other soft costs. So that it's not just 94 minus the 65 or what we have. The 94 gets increased by some percentage of soft costs somewhere, since design's already included in that, probably somewhere in the 20-25% on top of that. So, for example, if the construction dollars were in 94, I'm sorry, the design build, and we want to be clear with that, this is not just a construction proposal that's being provided, it's a design and construction. And typically, that design is somewhere in the 10% of that 94. So a $94 million proposal would have somewhere in the $10 million range of design fees built in. So if you take that through the soft costs, you would be generating a total required budget somewhere north of $110 million, as an example. So if you take the 110 minus the 65, that's when we're saying that the worst-case scenario would be, if nothing changed and 94 was the number and they came back and said, sorry, that's it, can't bring it down, that would be 50. Clearly, it's not going to be that. We clearly have found a lot of efficiencies and things that are bringing down the scope without impacting the programming or what was promised to the voters. So we know it's going to come down.
Okay. So and the additional soft cost that would be city cost, which includes a contingency, you normally use 20-25%. Is that your gut?
Right. We do this all the time. Yes. If you were just doing a construction project and you add all the bells and whistles that go with that, it ranges anywhere between 30-40%. It depends. You have things such, for example, you have to fund the AIPP fund. You have to fund the GOB folks. We fund ourselves, my department. That's how we get paid. You have contingencies, you have other consultants, you know, that oversee the project, you have building permits, all sorts of things that fall somewhere in that 30-40% over a bare bottom construction cost.
Okay. And of that 30%, what would you normally include for contingency? I've over the years used sometimes I see 10% used as part of that.
Typically in the industry, 10% is always what you hear. That's the typical. However, in a case like this, and this is not something that I've discussed with the city manager or anybody else, a design-build project, one of the key benefits of a design-build project is that you are transferring some risk. And short of changing scope, we are able to transfer great majority of the risk. So one could argue that when we get to that bottom number, we can look at that 10% contingency, and I would make a recommendation to the city manager saying, because of the type of project it is a design build, a lot of these risks have been already mitigated, maybe we can reduce that 10% contingency to a level that we all feel comfortable with transparently and help shorten or minimize that gap.
Well, we'll look forward. I think we'll all look forward to the detailed estimates. My gut has been telling me we're probably around 20 short. And after this discussion today, I still think my gut is telling me we're around 20 short. So I'm out looking for 20 for now. But I look forward to the detailed accountability. And I would just add for the record, I take your point, Commissioner Gongora, about selling assets seriously. And I would never support selling an asset to fund operations. But if I can sell an asset to enhance another asset, which would be the case here if we sell, especially I've put on the record that I'm would support selling the two front lots of where the library's at. At this point, I haven't been convinced of selling it all because I'd like to see green space behind that. But if I can sell an asset like a parking lot, I think we, in fact, should look seriously at the parking lot at 87th Street, which is probably serving Surfside more than Miami Beach. That parking lot and that parcel of land there could probably generate us somewhere in the $4 to $5 million range, I believe, and could help fund this project. And then I want to seriously look at the library as long as we could retain the title to it until the new library is open. But I would never support selling an asset to fund operations.
Thank you.
Will support selling an asset to enhance another asset.
I think that's an excellent distinction, and these have been very good questions. Obviously, before the commission moves forward and approves a final budget, this has to have a deeper dive than the box we're getting today at first reading. We need to, or not even first reading, first glance, because we need to understand really how this project breaks down. I thought this was a good opening discussion, but you're telling us there's a difference between $25 and $50 million. We need to understand what those differences are. And we need to have a much better idea of how to fund it, the amount of money that could come from the different parcels, to see what we move forward with. And it's not just this one. I mean, as I flip forward, we have a lot of unfunded projects, Bayshore, the fire station, the police station, and then projects, you know, the Byron Carlisle, the Collins Park Cultural Facility. There's a lot. There's a lot. I mean, I don't think that I've ever seen this much an unfunded potential capital cost. So we're going to have a better understanding in how we're going to prioritize these.
Well, to that point, you're right. There are a lot of competing interests, and I've been working on a $20 million gut feeling here, and then I was hoping that we would have the $3 million from the Ocean Terrace settlement, but I know that there's an item that's going to be brought to the commission to use the money for another purpose. So I was kind of hoping that 20, I had it reduced to 17, and then we were looking for 17. So it's clear that we can't fund everything that's in front of us. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have more requests than we do funds. So we're going to have to make some tough choices for sure.
The only distinction I would make about this particular project, and it's important to note a couple things, this project, if I'm correct, and please correct me if I'm not, is currently still within the cone of silence and still in negotiation. So I think what you see here is an abundance of caution and an abundance of transparency and wanting to make sure that the commission understands what the range might be, because all of this is a negotiation and it's a function of an agreement to what that ultimate number is. There's the value engineering process that's ongoing, and then separate and apart from that, there will be an actual hard negotiation relative to that number. So we're optimistic, and obviously I agree with you, Commissioner, in your calculation. I think we're much closer than perhaps we thought we were maybe 3 weeks ago. This project in particular, as compared to Commissioner Gongora, the projects that you listed, this project is very close. It's been through a process, and it's very close to being awarded. So from purposes of making funding decisions and prioritizing through the cycle, I think this particular project is at a critical point.
I agree with you, Madam Manager, and I will say that for me, this is the highest priority for a large capital project in the city of Miami Beach. This will be transformative for North Beach. Once we get going on this, I think it'll be a catalyst for so much more to come. So I'm going to do everything that I can to help you and the staff to find that money. If we're 20, if it's 25, I'm going to be digging under rocks to find it so we can get this project done.
I think a good point as well is that this is one of the only projects that was actually voter approved as part of the GO bond. So we have a commitment to deliver to the voters what they approve. So, all right, let's move on.
Okay. Next slide, please. Okay, so I'm hoping it's downhill from there.
John, thank you so much. I appreciate you indulging all my questions on this.
No, it's the most important project in this list. And like we mentioned, we're going to hopefully, depending on the timing, be able to come back on July 16th with much more information. Or if we can't hit that, July 30th, I believe we have a finance committee as well.
John, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I think I heard the chair trying to speak. It's hard to hear him. I don't know. I think he was trying to ask a question.
Okay. Let's see. Commissioner Areola, did you have a question or comment? Okay, should we just keep moving? Okay. All right, so North Beach Oceanside Park has we're getting ready to award that contract in September.
Can you guys hear me or no?
Oh, here, we can hear. Yes.
Yeah. Thank you, Alina, for catching. I was trying to cut in. But basically, I was going the same line that Commissioner Richardson was going down, which is to scrutinize these numbers. Because the gap, I don't think, based on just addition and subtraction, is not quite as large as the numbers that are being bandied about. So I do think that we can narrow this gap. And then as for selling the public land, I think we're all pretty much aligned. But I just call to people's attention with respect to a library site. We've always contemplated at some point in the future potentially selling it, because once this center is open, the library becomes obsolete. And so then the question becomes, what would we do with it? So we've always contemplated repurposing that asset. So this is nothing new. And I just wanted to add that.
Okay, great. So let's see, North Beach Oceanside Park. Okay, so again, this contract award is getting ready to go out at the end of the summer. The shortfall is estimated at $1.9 million. Here we have a proposed solution. The Middle Beach Rec Corridor 2 project, otherwise known as Middle Beach Beachwalk, got a big grant, and so it's able to free up some funding there to be able to apply here and kind of solve this problem. So hopefully this is one that there's several of these that hopefully we can do through an upcoming budget amendment. So if we kind of get some general agreement here, we could put this on in the July capital budget amendment to go ahead and close some of these gaps, if that sounds okay.
John, can I ask a question?
Yes.
Okay. I support the North Beach Oceanside Park, and this is a project that I believe is very important because it was promised many years ago. But I get concerned sometimes because Middle Beach received the least amount of money in the GO bond, and then I see a lot of transfers from the Mid Beach budgets to fund underfunded projects in North Beach and South Beach. I have a number of residents in Mid Beach, and we talked about this, that are very upset that their area was left out for the cameras for the beach walk. We're putting in money for North Beach, we're putting them in South Beach, but most of the actual residents that live along the beach walk are in Mid Beach. So I'm not sure if this is the right opportunity to ask this question, but when I see money coming out of North Beach funds, I want to understand better what Mid Beach is getting. Is there any breakdown that you're going to present at some point between which capital monies are going to South, Mid, and North Beach so we can see a comparison area by area?
We don't normally do that, but I'm sure we can, for sure. We could bring that back to one of the upcoming workshops.
Okay. I'd like to see that. And I know that you and I have talked at some point before this comes back. I'd like to better understand how those cameras along the Mid Beach Beachwalk are going to be funded.
Yeah, we talked about it a little bit earlier when we went through the Mid Beach Quality of Life Funds, but the idea would be that we would start funding them next year. And then if there's more funding necessary, it would be the following year. It's a long stretch. It's 46 to 79, so we'd probably break it up into like 46 to 63rd and you know, finish that out over the period of the next 2-3 years. That is the plan, and you would see that in the out years of the five-year capital plan.
Okay.
All right. So let's move on to Maurice Gibb. So this construction contract is supposed to go out at the end of the year. The estimated shortfall right now is $1.2 million. We do have some grant money that we're hoping to get. If we get it, it'll reduce this $1.2 million by about $600,000. So for now, to keep the project fully funded, we recommend applying $1.2 million of the $1.5 million available of GO Bond Park category. Next slide, please. Savings there, and we could do that through an upcoming budget amendment as well. And then, hey, if later we get the grants and we can free up $600,000, we would do that in a future action. Can we get to Bayshore Park, please? Next one. Okay, thanks. So that contract award is anticipated next spring in March 2022. That shortfall was preliminary, was $6 to $7 million. CIP has been working really hard to value engineer that project while still maintaining all the major park components. We think we've got that down to about $1.9 million. And so there, that number is fairly manageable. So again, that Middle Beach Beachwalk fund project, because it got a large grant, is now able to donate $1.5 million of savings over here. And then we talked about earlier when we went through the Quality of Life Mid-Beach funds that $400,000 would get allocated there to finish up this, the close this funding gap, total $1.9 million. So if that sounds good, we would again add this, at least the $1.5 through the, a budget amendment. The remaining $400 would come in effective October 1st with the adoption of the FY22 capital budget, and it would keep the project on track. So there would be no pause there. Okay, next project. Next slide, sorry. Next slide, yeah, Fire Station 1. Okay, so this one is more wait and see. It's we wouldn't award the construction contract till next October. So between now and then, hopefully some of the COVID cost pressures would unwind, and hopefully it would be a little less than the, you know, less than the $6 to $10 million. If we're still have a gap of several million dollars, though, we might have to use some of those, you know, sale of fund, those five vacant parcels potentially to help close this gap. So this is one where we don't have, you know, a definite solution right now, but, you know, as we get into this time next year, we should have a good plan for you at that point. Next slide. So police headquarters, this is, again, this is different from some of the other projects in two ways. One, the funding is split between tranche one and tranche two. And then second, it's not a public-facing project. It's more of an internal city project. And so right now, we're estimating a shortfall of about $4 to $5 million. But because it is an internal city project, we have a lot more potential to review that scope, to try to make some changes to help save funds. And then also, we already have the tranche one funding that can help fund whatever needs to happen in the short term. And then when we do have a shortfall, it would really be in tranche two. And then at that point, maybe we'd have some different funding options. So we're just trying to get our arms around all these projects. So, you know, even if it's not imminent, at least you know what the future plan is or what we're facing. So on the next slide, you see a list. It's not necessarily comprehensive, but it has quite a few of the big-ticket unfunded projects. So I'll just run through these real quick. So the Collins Park Cultural Facility, that's $4.75 million. We're going to need that in the next 3 years, not necessarily today, but something to keep in mind. The Byron Carlisle, $13 million to renovate, approximately $22 million to reconstruct. So that's a big-ticket item. The Barclay, potentially, if we want to renovate that, could be $15 to $20 million. The existing Fire Station 1, to renovate that, to bring it up to code, could take $6 to $8 million. There's a recent tight urbanism project that came out of committee. That's $2.4 million. Recently heard South Beach Promenade. That could be $17 million. So, you know, there's a we have a lot of these projects out there. I think we're trying to do a better job to kind of keep a running list of what all those things are and be able to communicate effectively with the commission on, you know, which ones are funded, which ones are not funded, or what do we have, what do we don't have. But I think, as Commissioner Gongora pointed out, this is a pretty large list and the largest one I've seen in my 8 years here.
John, let me ask a question or two. On the old fire station number one, that could not be renovated until it's vacated. So we're waiting for the new Fire Station 1. So on this project, it seems to me we're what, five years out?
Probably at least three, for sure, three or four. And this is really more, because similar to the Barclay, we acquired that asset, haven't been able to do anything with it for, I think, at least 10 years. So with the old fire station, you know, we're just trying to look ahead and say, okay, what could we do with that asset? And it seems like any scenario, we're going to have to renovate it and bring it up to code. And so that would be about $6 to $8 million. So it's more of a look ahead than something that is imminent. Yes.
Right. So it's not really before us in terms of we're not looking to start construction on that anytime soon, because we can't until it's vacated. So we're just thinking ahead 4 years or so on that. Right. Now, on the Byron Carlisle, I saw the letter to commissioner, and there were three different options on that. And, Madam Manager, I had an item for the city to do a survey, because I think we have to start with trying to find out what the community wants before we can move forward. Because I saw in that LTC that to build, I guess to do a build out with a gray shell was about, if memory serves me, $25 million. So do you know what the status is of the survey that the city was going to perform to find out, because I think you're going to go out with an independent poll so that we could find out what the community wants. Hi.
Good morning.
Morning.
So we've been working with our communications on the scope of the survey of what we want to ask before we put that out. Concurrently to that, we've been, you know, this report was finalized by MC Harry, so I guess the next step is, now that we know what's wrong with it, is we're going to put out to the community. So we're still working through that, and it has not been published just yet. We expect that in the next few weeks.
Okay, so after we get back from our summer break, do we expect that we would have the survey, the poll results in September or October?
We hope so, yes.
Okay. And then you could share that with us, and
correct,
then we'll know what the community at least is thinking, and then we can figure out from there.
Yes, sir.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Let me ask again real quick, because we're on this, because I think this has been surveyed before. Of course, people's minds change every couple of years. They may have changed what they want here. They may change their mind on what they want for alcohol hour closures on Ocean Drive. We tend to go back to the people and ask them the same questions over and over. How is the survey being conducted? Is it an email? Are you holding a charrette?
So there was a charrette years ago for the town center discussion, I believe, and that information is already available to us. I think what we're trying to do is put out a survey that has, what would you like to see there? This is what the building is. What would you like to see? I mean, there, you know, if you look at the report, you have components of, do you want to see a cultural facility with retail or tenant space? Do you want to see a flexible cultural facility? Do you want to see just a movie theater? So those are the kind of questions that we're trying to ask. I've been working with our neighborhood affairs office to try to piece this all together to see what, you know, that's not my forte, surveys, right? But I'm trying to put together you know, something or a scope, if you will, for the community to understand what it is that they're trying to get out of this location. The facility can be whatever it is that we want it to be, but I'm working through that right now. I don't have all of the parameters of that survey just yet, but you know, we're still working through. I know we've had a lot of dialogue on it over the last few weeks, and I'm comfortable that in the next few weeks we'll be able to put something out. How we're putting it out, I think they're gonna, you know, just share with, lifeline.
Hi, Commissioner Kevin Polito, Neighborhood Affairs. So with the survey, what we were going to do, it's going to be electronic survey, and then we would go ahead and send that to our list. And we were going to discuss with Adrian if we could conduct the mailing. What I was thinking of doing in terms of the mailing was we could mail to 400 feet around the property, similar to what we do for DRB. And then electronically through social media, email, we'll go ahead and share that survey for everyone else who lives in North Beach, because we know this is an anchor in North Beach. So there's a lot of residents that want to provide some input on the survey. So it's going to be electronically to answer your question.
So to that point, and that's the reason I brought it up, the item that I brought that was passed by the commission was for an independent objective poll. We can go back and look at the language. So I think we should take input from everyone in the community. Mm-hmm. But I think what this body needs to know is what the public thinks in an independent, objective manner. Because I don't want to make a decision based on the input from 30 people wearing bright T-shirts, you know, that would slant the results. What I want to know is, just like you would do a political poll, what is a true answer? So, Madam Manager, if we need to go back and look at that item that I brought 3, 4, 5 months ago, we can do that. But I think it was pretty clear directing the administration to go out and do an independent survey or poll to get objective results. Now, I want to hear from everybody in the community, and if that means doing an email distribution or holding town halls, all those things are very important. But at the end of the day, we need to get some objective results, because that's the only way we're going to be able to make a decision to truly know what the community wants. I don't want to just have a town hall and have 30 people show up and say this is what we want and assume that that's what everybody in the community wants. Because I know that there was a lot of controversy on this item, and I invested a lot of time on the item, and there are a lot of unhappy people in North Beach because it's still sitting there and nothing's being done. So I think we probably should go back and spend just look at the item that was brought so that we can make sure the administration is going to be responsive to the item.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner. I'll go back and find it, and we'll reconcile where we're at in terms of what's being developed versus what it says specifically. I'd be happy to do that.
Thank you. And I think I have no objection to doing all the other things that you've talked about, because as much input, we need to get as much input as possible. But I don't want to do all of that and forget to do the independent objective poll. Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you.
Okay. So we've talked about some of these, but this is kind of the list of funding options that at least we've identified so far. So we had a robust discussion about the North Shore Library site. You know, at some point, we're going to probably have to issue an RFP. We could always have different options. We could say, okay, show us what, you know, you would do with the two lots that we would not have to go to voter referendum, or the full site. So that's something that the commission will have to decide soon. Then we have the potential sale of the five parcels, recently appraised at $16.2 million. So they're currently not on the street yet. So that's something where we would, I think we would recommend trying to get them on the street as quickly as possible so we could potentially solve some of these issues. So that item will probably be coming to you soon. The proposed Siegel Hotel street vacation, this is been discussed at length recently, $7.4 million. I just included the payment schedule here to make sure everybody's clear that the third payment at least would not probably occur for several years here. So just in case we're trying to allocate some of that money. Next slide. I think, Commissioner Richardson, you brought up the uncommitted Ocean Terrace legal settlement fund. So there was $3 million originally, $1 million for 72nd Street, $400,000 to cover the legal fees associated with the settlement, leaving $1.6 million. To be allocated. At last Friday's Finance Committee, there was a recommendation to allocate up to $1.6 million as a 50% match to the Sabrina Cohen Foundation, so that item will probably come to commission sometime soon. And then we have savings in various GO bond project categories, and the parks category is $1.5 million, the public safety $1 million, and we're recommending of that parks category $1.5, sending $1.2 million to Maurice Gibb Park, as we mentioned earlier. So that's kind of like the, again, right now, the universe of options as we understand them. And so as we move forward in time, next slide, the next workshop is on July 16th. We focus primarily on the operating budget, but if we have any follow-up or we have more information on 72nd Street, we would also include that at that workshop. And then on the a week later, on the 23rd, we would try to finalize the budget, so any follow-up option items from the operating budget or the capital budget, we would cover there. And then during the month of August, when we're not meeting, we're working very hard behind the scenes with the city manager to produce the proposed budget document, which is available before the first public hearing on September 17th. And so that's another, the 17th and the 30th, those are also opportunities to amend the proposed budget before we go final on the 30th and start the new year on October 1st. So this sort of concludes our presentation, but if we have any other questions, we'd be happy to take them now.
Go ahead.
So thank you. On slide 57, we talk about the five parcels we've been looking at. So could you provide us with a...
Oh, I'm not on. Yeah, thank you so much. So on slide 57, we're talking about the parcels that are our potential opportunities. And I know we've talked about this probably more in finance, but I think it'd be helpful if we distribute a detailed list to all of the members of the board, because we're going to be looking at this very closely, and I think we'll want to have input from all the members of the board. So if that's something that you could, John, put together and send around to all of us, I know that there were at least five, and there may be actually a few more that we were looking at, and also based on the conversation that we had at the budget retreat, you're going to do some additional work, I think, on the two parcels associated with the library. So do you have a timeline on when you think we might have some additional information on that?
I believe we just went out for the second appraisal on that. Adrian, can somebody help me? I'm almost positive I signed that document last week.
That is correct. We did go out for a second appraisal, as you requested, and we expect that in a few weeks. Timeline is typically between 15 to 20 days. So our Office of Real Estate is working on that, and happy to provide you the list of parcels through John, no problem.
Thank you. So when we may make the second, I don't know what criteria was used on the first one, but specifically I was asking at the retreat if we made a commitment to the purchase agent that we would keep that as green space, would that enhance the value of those two parcels? So is that made clear to the second appraiser that we're looking for a value for those two lots if the city makes a commitment to keep that as green space? Because clearly, if you sell the front two, and there's the risk that we would sell the back three and put a hotel on it, that significantly affects the value of the front two. So I'm specifically looking for a value for the front two if we keep that as green space. And if we haven't made that clear, I would like that at least to be an option. If they want to give us both answers, that would be okay too.
So I'll confirm that with our Office of Real Estate. We did hear the meeting. We were there. So I'll confirm that. I couldn't tell you that right now, but I'll confirm that.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Just one question that I'm just unclear on. When I looked through your grid, there's like a line item 145 that says security enhancement citywide, and I'm not sure what it is. It seems like there's a request for $500,000 and there's no proposed funding. What kind of security enhancements are those?
Yeah, I'll let Adrian tell you a little bit more about what they are, but we funded $500,000 last year, and we haven't really spent almost any of it. So that's why we didn't recommend $500,000 this coming year. Plus, we had a lot of other needs. But if we need more in FY23, we would definitely recommend that. If Adrian, you could speak to the...
Of course. So we've been working for, and the pandemic kind of stopped it a little bit, but we've been working on security enhancements to facilities citywide. Obviously, this would have to be a phased approach, particularly card access. I won't get into the specifics of the limitations for security reasons, but we have to upgrade it. We have to upgrade them, and we finally have a design. We started with City Hall, and we're working through other facilities, and we're confident that with the funds that we have already in place that we could start getting the ball rolling so that, mid-year next year, we could start working through it. So this is going to have to be a multi-year, multi-phase approach to be able to get all of our facilities in the best of security features that we need.
Okay.
Adrian, to follow up on that point, John, when I had my briefing, we had a conversation because there's a line item in here for pavers for the front of City Hall. I don't know what line. Do you remember what line item it is that I can point to?
I know the project. If
we'll look it up.
Yeah. Because it was, I don't want to misquote the amount of money that's, it seemed like a rather significant amount of money, so.
Yeah, so
the reason in the briefing, I said to John that I don't know that we should spend that money because it seems to me that we have a related project in the front of City Hall, and that relates to our public safety and security, because right now the front of the building is not as secure as it could be, and I don't want to describe publicly all the things that might happen there. But rather than just replace those pavers, I would like to see real security enhancements to the front of the building. And so I don't want to spend that money on pavers and then have to go back and redo work. So what I told John is I think that rather than doing that project, what we should do is budget for a design for what the front of City Hall could look like with security enhancements. And I throw that out for my colleagues to comment on. I know they're trying to find the paver project was a very large number, and I'm not going to be supportive of spending that money just to replace the pavers in the front of City Hall without doing real work on security.
So if I can say, so the paver, you're absolutely correct. The pavers are beyond the useful life. If you've been out there, they just don't look great. Concurrently to that, for the last, I would say, year and a half, we've been working with a consultant on the security redesign of City Hall. If you remember, pre-pandemic, we had a shade session sit-down and even individual sit-down with all of the commissioners to discuss security and some of the issues that are not going to be made available to the public. And we're still working through that. Obviously, COVID kind of derailed a little bit, our progress, but we've been working with our planning department. We've been working with our stakeholders from different departments that are affected. And at some point, a comprehensive plan for security for City Hall would be made available. We have not started to discuss funding yet because we still need to, again, a tiered approach. I'm comfortable with the short-term measures that we've taken today. If you remember visitor management and some of the things that we've done, in this post-pandemic, life that we're in. But moving forward, you'll see a different with, enhanced cameras. The card access will be different. The bollards that you mentioned for vehicle deterrence or hostile vehicle deterrence. So those little details are being worked through right now. I have no qualms about asking for money when I need it, but when we're not ready for it, I'm not comfortable with it, and I'm confident that if you want to delay the pavers because they're beyond useful life, and we want to wait for that larger project, I'm comfortable with that as well.
So, John, did you find the line item for me?
It's on page 54. It's project 102.
102.
And I believe it's $550,000.
Yeah, $550,000, so it's rather significant. So I throw that out for my colleagues because I really don't want to spend that money just to replace pavers because there's a bigger issue that needs to be addressed, and that's public safety, including our own, by the way, and all of our staff. So what I would propose that we do this year, and I'll throw this out for your participation in the discussion, is I would like to see a design project for the front of the building. I mean, there's a big, beautiful tree there that I'd like to see saved, but the well that it sits in was flooded the other night when I left. It's past its useful life as well. So I would like to see a design project that addresses security. And I would like to do that in this next year, and I would like to defer this paver project, if that's okay with my colleagues, because I don't want to put pavers, I don't want to spend $550,000 and in 2 years take them all out with a redesign for security.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting point. I wasn't following the paver budgeting items, so I appreciate you bringing this to the table, so to speak. I think what could happen between now and our next meeting, perhaps you could brief us all on the options, what the paver construction would look like, what a redesign of the building or security enhancements would look like, so we'd have a better opportunity to make an informed decision on that funding request.
Certainly, and to your point, Commissioner, we're comfortable with deferring it. Obviously, that's not an issue. I mean, the reason we budget for it is we're trying to get closer to a life cycle management process of budgeting so that we're not just picking and choosing. When an element of a facility sunsets or reaches its useful life, you're in danger of it failing at any point in time. So the pavers, the reason that's put on is, over the last few years, a lot of folks have complained of the condition, and we've done everything we can to preserve what it looks like today, no different than this chamber here. What you see is what you get. But over time, it's just time to do that. And those things are expensive, a little bit self-serving, but we're confident that, over the next, budget cycle, our life cycle management plan will be ready, and we won't have to pick because the document and the dashboard will scream at you what it is you need to fund.
Yeah, well, they're certainly unsightly currently, but they're not crumbling, and so there's, from my perspective, there's no one's going to trip on them right now, I don't think. But I would like to see a design project that would primarily address public safety and security for the building, and I don't know what that would cost. Maybe that's a $50,000 project, and that would leave me $500,000 to add to an overall project that addresses security, maybe that project's going to be $800 or $1 million. I don't know, but I certainly don't want to spend this and then 2 years from now be digging up pavers and saving them for some other project. But as Commissioner Gongora requested, if you could just brief us on all that and maybe just give us a rough order of magnitude of what a design project would cost so that we could see what it would look like. That's how I'd like to proceed.
Certainly.
Commissioner, not on that note, but related somewhat to this facility and to this building and to these chambers, it just came to my attention that we have some issues with ADA accessibility in this building, and in particular in these chambers and in our bathrooms, and that's very concerning to me and something that I'd like to see addressed as well. So I am going to be having that conversation with Adrian and John and look at perhaps a temporary bridge to get us to another point, but I don't like that this facility is not ADA accessible.
I totally support that, Madam Mayor. I know that our chairman has Rick Ariel has mentioned that in the past, and I'm fully supportive of the fact that the facility is not ADA compliant, and this particular chamber is not as secure as it probably needs to be, and we need to address that issue as well.
Thank you. Yes, I support that as well. And the acoustics are very terrible.
Yeah.
What'd you say?
All right. Is there anything else we need to discuss today?
I don't know, John. Did you have anything else? I think the chairman.
Can you guys hear me? Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. With this item, you know, just refurbishing City Hall. I mean, this is it's a one-time thing, and you know, it can last 20 years. And you know, I was an advocate for including it in the GO bond, because it's not a big-ticket item, but, you know, it's something not really for us. It's for the public. Better, more comfortable seating, better acoustics, better visuals, all that. And, you know, we all got shy and didn't want to do something that would be perceived as for ourselves. And it's just silly, because this is City Hall. It's for the public. And, you know, it's very outdated, and it's not a huge ticket item in the scheme of things, and it's a one-time investment. So fully supportive of trying to find money, you know, for doing this, because, you know, members of the public, hundreds of people come to our meetings, and they should feel safe and comfortable.
Exactly. Mr. Chairman, did you have anything else that you wanted to add before we adjourn the meeting?
No, I mean, other than to say, you know, thank you to John and his staff. You know, my briefing on this issue was excellent. I had a good feeling that today's meeting was going to run smoothly. Once again, you know, we're in good, capable hands with our CFO and our new city manager. You know, I think we're going to have a very successful budget cycle in tight times, and I think we're going to be happy with the outcome. So look forward to continued meetings on this. And I apologize for not being there today. I thought I'd get there sooner, but I had child care issues and these things happen. I apologize for not being there with you.
Mr. Chair, just one item. There is one member of the public on Zoom. Would you like to have a 1 minute or 2 minute for public comment? This isn't a public hearing, but we typically permit public comment.
Sure. I mean, if someone's been attending and had their hand up, then let's hear from them. Up to 2 minutes, please.
Okay, so the one caller is Paula King. Paula, you're on.
Hi, I understand this isn't a public thing, but what's glaring to me about the garage price is that it doesn't include, at least according to Mike Alvarez, the $30 million cost to move all of the underground utilities that run through that lot. The $94 million bid does not include any at all build out. What my impression is that they deliver a gray shell, and that everything else, all drywall, all everything else, which is additionally millions of dollars of all of the public spaces, it also does not include a pool cover. Now, the pool is ineffective for any kind of meets or scheduled events because there's no cover on it. So you can't schedule events when there's going to be a thunderstorm. So the pool needs to be covered. If that and what are you know they said soft costs. What else are the soft costs?
Does this include the meters for taking in parkers? Does this include parking booths where we pay people to accept money for the parking? Does this include, you know, all of the parking automation, which is lots and lots of money too? I think we're looking at another $50 to $60 million to complete this garage project. That's all I wanted to say this morning. Thank you.
Thank you.
And there are no other callers.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Colleagues, you ready to conclude today's meeting?
I think we are, Chairman.
What? I didn't hear.
Okay. Well, have a happy Friday. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Thank you very much. All right.